The term interest in possession has no statutory definition. Following the case of Pearson and CIR, it is widely recognised that the term interest in possession broadly means a present right to present enjoyment of income. This means that if a beneficiary at this moment in time has power to enjoy the income of a trust, he or she will have an interest in possession. HMRC Press Release 12th of February 1976 sets out their understanding of the term interest in possession. An interest in possession in trust property exists where the person having the interest has an immediate entitlement to any income produced by the property in the trust. If the trustees have a discretion or power to withhold income from that person, such a power will negate the existence of an interest in possession. Therefore, if the trustees have a power to accumulate income within the trust, no interest in possession will exist. An interest in possession will exist where a beneficiary has a present right to enjoy the income of the trust. Therefore, if the trustees have power to remove future income, this does not negate the existence of a current interest in possession. An exclusive right to enjoy an asset within a trust is also an interest in possession, even if that asset does not produce any income. HMRC Press Release from the 15th of August 1979 states that if trustees permit a beneficiary to occupy a dwelling house at less than a full commercial rent, this will create an interest in possession. This has inheritance tax implications. Finance Act 2006 made significant changes to the IHT treatment of interest in possession trusts created on or after the 22nd of March 2006. This means that you need to know two sets of rules. One, where the trust was created before the 22nd of March 2006, and two, where the trust was created on or after the 22nd of March 2006. We'll start with trusts created before March 2006. Interest in possession trusts created during the lifetime of the settlor before March 2006 were usually potentially exempt transfers. IHT was only chargeable if the settlor died within 7 years of setting up the trust. There were a couple of exceptions to this rule. Where the life tenant was the spouse of the settlor, the gift was exempt, and where the settlor himself was the life tenant, the transfer was ignored for IHT. The creation of a discretionary trust was a chargeable lifetime transfer. The lifetime creation of an accumulation and maintenance trust was a potentially exempt transfer. The rules are different for trusts created on or after the 22nd of March 2006. The creation of an IIP trust during the lifetime of the settlor on or after the 22nd of March 2006 is a chargeable lifetime transfer. The creation of a discretionary trust remains a chargeable lifetime transfer. Trusts which would have been A&M trusts under the old rules are now simply discretionary trusts. Therefore, the creation of an A&M type trust after March 2006 will be a chargeable lifetime transfer. Therefore, the lifetime creation of any sort of trust after March 2006 will be a chargeable lifetime transfer. There are occasional exceptions, but these are few and far between. To understand the inheritance tax treatment of interest in possession trusts, we need to be able to differentiate between relevant property and qualifying interests in possession. In broad terms, relevant property is property which is not comprised in the estate of a settlor or a beneficiary. In order to ensure that such assets are not therefore outside the scope of IHT, relevant property is subject to exit and principal charges. Where trust assets are held on qualifying interest in possession, such assets are comprised in the estate of a beneficiary. Therefore, where a beneficiary is a life tenant of a qualifying interest in possession trust, the trust assets form part of his death estate. As qualifying IIPs are already within the scope of IHT, property within a qualifying interest in possession trust is not subject to exit and principal charges. Finance Act 2006 changed the rules such that not all life tenants of IIP trusts are now treated as having a qualifying interest in possession. The table on your screen summarizes assets which are relevant property and qualifying interest in possession. Relevant property will include all discretionary trusts and A&M Trusts after the 5th of April 2008, and Lifetime Interest and Possession Trusts created on or after the 22nd of March 2006. Qualifying interest in possession includes trusts for disabled persons, all IIP trusts created on death, and lifetime interest in possession trusts created before the 22nd of March 2006. We'll examine this in more detail as we progress through this session. The term qualifying interest in possession is used to describe assets in a trust for a disabled person, assets in an IIP trust created on death, and assets in a lifetime IIP trust created before the 22nd of March 2006. Assets settled on qualifying interest in possession trusts are treated as being part of the estate of the beneficiary with the interest in possession, i.e. the life tenant. Because such assets are taxed in the beneficiary's death estate, qualifying IIPs are not subject to exit and principal charges. If an individual dies with a qualifying interest in possession in a trust, the trust assets will form part of his death estate. The value of a qualifying IIP must be declared by the executors on the death estate return form IHT 400. If the beneficiary only has an interest in part of the trust fund, the same proportion of the assets in the trust is deemed to form part of his estate. Assets held by the deceased in his own right, i.e. his personal assets, etc., make up his free estate. We value the free estate, deduct any liabilities, and then add the value of a qualifying IIP to the assets in the free estate. This total amount will be charged to IHT. In essence, even though the life tenant was only entitled to the income of the trust during his lifetime, on his death we pretend that the capital assets which form the qualifying IIP are part of his estate for IHT purposes. By way of illustration, Peter died in March 2011, having made no lifetime transfers. Peter left a free estate, personal assets, etc., worth £500,000 entirely to his son. Peter was also the life tenant of an interest in possession trust created in 1995. The assets of the trust were worth £300,000 at Peter's death. As the trust was created before the 22nd of March 2006, the trust is a qualifying IIP. The trust assets will therefore form part of Peter's death estate. The remainder man of the IIP trust is Peter's daughter. This means that on Peter's death, the assets of the trust will pass automatically to his daughter. The IHT is calculated as follows. We start by taking the free estate, which is £500,000. Peter had an interest in possession in a trust created in 1995. This is a qualifying IIP, and therefore the trust assets of £300,000 are added to his free estate. The total chargeable estate is £800,000. We then deduct the nil band for the year of death and calculate tax at 40%. The IHT payable is therefore £190,000. Peter's executors will only pay IHT on assets forming part of the free estate. The tax on the qualifying IIP, that is the IHT that relates to the assets within the trust, will be paid by the trustees. Therefore, once we have calculated the total IHT, we apportion this between the executors and the trustees, as the tax will be paid by two different people. The tax paid by the executors will be 500 over 800 multiplied by the total tax, giving £118,750. The tax paid by the trustees will be 300 over 800 multiplied by the total tax, giving £71,250. If any quick succession relief is available, either in respect of the free estate or in respect of the trust property, this is deducted before any apportionment is made. As Peter's daughter is the remainder man of the trust, she'll be entitled to the assets left in the trust after Peter's death. As the trustees will have to pay IHT of £71,250, they will deduct this from the trust fund before appointing the net assets to the daughter. The daughter will therefore receive £300,000 less the tax of £71,250, which is £228,750. Contrast the above with the situation where an interest in possession trust is set up after the 22nd of March 2006 and a life tenant later dies. Paul died in March 2011, having made no lifetime transfers. Paul left a free estate of £500,000 to his son. The estate is therefore fully chargeable to IHT. Paul was also the life tenant of a lifetime interest in possession trust created in May 2007. The assets of the trust were worth £300,000 at Paul's death. The remainderment of the IIP trust is Paul's daughter. The position is different, as this lifetime IIP trust was set up after March 2006. In this case, the assets of the trust are not a qualifying IIP. Instead, the trust assets are relevant property, and the trust is treated in the same way as a discretionary trust for IHT. The trust assets will not form part of Paul's estate, and there will be no aggregation of the trust property with his free estate. When Paul dies in March 2011 and the assets pass to his daughter, an exit charge arises on the trust, calculated in the same way as for discretionary trusts. A reversionary interest in an interest in possession trust is excluded property. This is the case regardless of whether the trust is a qualifying IIP or not. Therefore, if the remainderman of an IIP trust dies before the life tenant, no part of the trust is included in the remainderman's estate. In this situation, unless stated otherwise in the will or trust deed, the person entitled to the residue of the remainderman's free estate will usually become the new remainderman of the IIP trust. Similarly, if the remainderman gives away his reversionary interest, this is not a transfer of value for IHT.